Highbridge, a division of Recorded Books, presents Leadership Wisdom from the Monk Who Sold His Ferrari, The Eight Rituals of Visionary Leaders, by Robin Sharma, read by Adam Werner. Chapter 1. A Wild Ride to Success. It was the saddest day of my life. As I arrived at work after a rare long weekend spent hiking and laughing in the mountains with my kids, I saw two enormous security guards hunched over the mahogany desk in my coveted corner office. Running closer, I could see that they were rifling through my files and peeking into the precious documents on my laptop computer, oblivious to the fact that I had spotted them. Finally, one of them noticed me standing there, my face flushed with anger, my hands shaking at the sight of this unforgivable invasion. With an expression that revealed not a hint of emotion, he looked at me and spoke 15 words that left me feeling as if I'd just been kicked in the chest. "Mr. Franklin, you have been fired. We must escort you out of the building immediately." With that simple dispatch, I went from being the senior vice president of the fastest-growing software company on the continent to a man without a future. And believe me, I took my dismissal very hard. Failure was a foreign concept to me, an experience I had no idea how to manage. In college, I'd been a golden boy, the kid with the perfect grades, the beautiful girls, and the boundless future. I made the varsity track team, was elected class president, and even found the time to host a hugely popular jazz show on our campus radio station. It seemed to all concerned, I was gifted and destined for great success. One day, I'd overheard one of my old professors saying to a colleague, "If I had the chance to live my life over again, I'd like to come back as Peter Franklin." Mind you, my talents were not as natural as everyone believed. The true source of my achievements could be traced back to a punishing work ethic and an almost obsessive desire to win. My father had come to this country as a penniless immigrant many years ago, with a deeply held vision of a more tranquil, prosperous, and happy life for his young family. He changed our family name, settled us into a three-room apartment in the honest part of town, and started working tirelessly as a factory worker for a minimum wage, a job he would keep for the next 40 years of his life. And though he had no formal education, I'd never met a wiser man. Until recently, when I met a most extraordinary human being, a person who you truly must get to know. I promise to tell you more about him shortly. You will never be the same. My father's dream for me was a simple one. Get a first-class education at a first-class school. A career of peak achievement and just compensation would then be assured, or so he thought. His firm belief was that a well-developed base of personal knowledge laid the foundation for a successful life. "No matter whatever happens to you, Peter, no one will ever be able to take away your education. Knowledge will always be your best friend, no matter where you go or what you do," he would often say to me while finishing his supper after another grueling 14-hour day at the factory he devoted most of his life to. My father was quite a man. He was also a great storyteller, one of the best. In his home country, the elders used parables to convey the wisdom of the ages to their children, so he carried this rich tradition with him to his adopted country. From the day that my mother died suddenly while making his lunch in our well-worn kitchen, until the time that my brother and I entered our teenage years, my father would send us off to a dreamy sleep with a delightful story that always had a life lesson. One that particularly stands out in my mind is about an old farmer on his deathbed who asked his three sons to gather around him. "Sons," he said, "death is close by and I shall soon take my last breath. But before I do, I must share a secret with you. In that field behind our farmhouse, there lies a glorious treasure. Dig deep and you shall find it. You will never have to worry about money again." Once the old man had died, the sons ran out to the field and started digging with wild abandon.